Turn in your hymnals to Matthew chapter 1. What did I say, hymnals?
Yeah.
Bibles. Hey, wait a minute, man. Isn't the Psalms a hymn? Maybe I'm going to sing from the Bible today. Most likely not. Turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1. Does our hymnal have Matthew in it? That'd be funny if it did. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. I don't think this story gets talked about enough. I think it deserves some recognition, especially with the lesson that it lays out. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her, but quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God add his blessings to this passage. Let us seek him and his favor in prayer. Father, as we look toward this lesson today that you have taught us, we thank you, Father. We ask that whatever's going on out there be left aside for a moment, that we may dwell within the Holy Spirit. These words from you, Father, that they go out and come back full, that they be used to talk of Jesus Christ, to strengthen us, to allow us to show him in our lives to the outside world, Father. And we thank you, and we praise you, in Jesus' holy name. And all of his children said loudly,
Amen.
Amen. So recently, now I want to stop there for a moment. Men say, hey, just the other day. Men say that all the time. Do you know what "just the other day" in man language means? That could have happened yesterday, a year ago, or 10 years ago. So just the other day, I witnessed something in a store that this thing that just got me all wound up. A child throwing a fit in the store. And this kid was good. He had gotten himself out of the cart and was sitting on the ground, beating the side of the cart, and he was crying and everything, and his mama wasn't paying him no mind. And I don't know what the problem was, but I got fascinated with it. And the little devil kind of took over with me. And I got near the toy section, and I went, "What toy should I take home for my child?" Now, that's not a smart thing to do, I know, to a mother who's probably getting ready to crack. But that kid was wound tight. He was kicking and screaming and throwing a fit. And I decided I better get out of that aisle because it was getting on my nerves fast. And then it took me back. I got out of the truck chuckling to myself. Sometime, somehow, some way, I started seeing this girl and I decided she was the one. And so I'm going to ask her to marry me because I'm Paul Leatherman. Who wouldn't want to be married to me? And I'm telling you, the way I asked her to get married, that was top notch. It came out of the blue. I tell you, we were standing on a mountaintop in West Virginia looking down on everything. 70, 80 mile view all the way around. I suddenly said, "Man, I got to ask right now." Of course, she said yes. That was her mistake. And I remember when we was first dating, we would go to restaurants, and even after we was married, we would go to restaurants or stores, and we'd see these little kids just throwing fits or acting up in restaurants, and we said, that is the most rude thing anyone can do. We will never have children and go out in public and have children do that. We will be better parents than that. We will never do that. We will not subject people who are trying to have a quiet time to themselves to a child kicking and screaming and throwing a fit. We just won't do it. God said, tell you what I'm going to do, feller. I'm going to give you two of them at once. And we took them to restaurants. And they threw fits. And when people would look at me, I'd go, what? Your kid did it. Got them in stereo. And it would happen that way. One would carry on, and the other one, and the other one, and the other one. That's the thing, isn't it? That kicking and screaming fit. That's how it goes sometimes. How many people in this room have ever had to do something you absolutely did not want to do? Everybody raise your hand. And I do mean everybody. Look at that. Lydia's got her hand straight up. And she ain't, but what are you, nine? She's 9 years old. She's got her hand straight up. My two boys are up because, well, you know who their father is. You don't want to do it. Hey, go over there and do that. No, I don't want to do it. Go over there and do that. No, I don't want to do it. Go over there and do that. And then you start getting mad, right? Why do I have to go do that? Well, I'm telling you right now. I don't fall prey to that. When you tell me to do something, I just go do it. Why are you shaking your head like that? Call my parents. They'll tell you another story. Nowadays, when my mother calls and says, she doesn't ask, you're going to do this. She bypasses that whole kicking and screaming fit. We all get trapped up into doing things that we don't want to do. We do not want to do it. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care who is reaching. You don't want to do it. There's something that has happened. It might have just happened an hour ago. It might be happening right now. It happens. Continues to happen. And we are grown-up children. Oh, we may not sit in the middle of the grocery store and throw a fit in the cereal aisle. But we do get mad. I don't want to do that. Why in the world do I want to do that? Ask me to do something like that. You mean to tell me, and I just, and you, and boy, I tell you what. But we have to do it. And sometimes we got to do it because we have to. Sometimes it's how we act to God, kicking and screaming when He's called out to us to do something. You see, in 2003, shortly after I became a father, at Harmony Church of the Brethren, I got tapped on the shoulder and they said, hey, can you preach one Sunday? You're a preacher, son. No, I don't want to do that. Come on, Paul, you know, we all know that you can probably handle it. Can you slip up there and give us a sermon one Sunday? No, you don't understand. I still drink. I still carry on. I still ain't a very good person. That's all right. Can you help us out? No. Yes, come on. You bring us a word. No. And so I did. Because I'm married. And when I got done, people came up to me, some of them with tears in their eyes. And this is a true story. Why ain't you preaching? As a matter of fact, the district executive of the Church of the Brethren happened to be in the audience that day. I didn't know he was coming. And boy, he just started hounding me after that. And I said, no. And he sat me down. He said, you are to be a preacher. You've got something. You need to preach. I said, no. And he said, God wants you to preach. I said, no. I'm not going to do it. And I'm telling you right now, nobody can make me do it. I'm not ready for that. Kicking and screaming, I had started that thing. 4 years, I argued with God. Yeah, that's right. Me. You know what happened? This weekend, we now start my 9th year of preaching here. Now, thank you, but that's not what that's about. What it's about is to teach you that God has a plan even when you don't want to do it that's greater than you can ever imagine. You can't outdo it. You can't outgive him. December 7th, 2007, I began right here in this pulpit, 9 years ago this weekend. The boys were four. I had to think of that, and while I was thinking of it, I had to wait for my statistician to keep me up to date. They was 4 years old when we got here, and I was told, you ain't going to last up there but a year. You're going to be gone in a year. They're a tough bunch. I'm tougher. I can be as hard-headed as you ever want to be around, but I want you to stop for a moment and take a look at Joseph. Who? Joseph, father of Jesus. Who? He's not the father of Jesus. God's the father of Jesus. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Now, I would like to look back for a moment. We come down off that mountain. I've just asked the most beautiful woman in the world to marry me. We climbed back on the four-wheelers. We took off down that mountain passage, all glowing. I'm proud of myself. Look what I did. I made that woman say, yes, I got that. And a week later, I find out she's pregnant. What? Can you imagine what it had been if it was like that? Joseph took Mary to become his wife. Now, in Jewish custom, once you become engaged, that's the same as. That's a big deal. It ain't like, hey, we got engaged and, you know, 6 months down the road, well, things didn't work out. We had irreconcilable differences and we broke up. No, he did everything by Jewish custom. He came forward to her. He fell in love with her. She with him. And so he decided this was his woman. I want to be married to her. But Mary had something else going on. Mary had found favor in the sight of God. The angel said, favor. And you, Mary, are going to bring the Savior to this earth. You, Mary, by way of the Holy Spirit, are going to conceive a child, and that child is going to be born, and that child is going to save all of mankind from that day until beyond, until the day the horn blows and I send him back. You, Mary, are going to handle that. But Joseph doesn't understand this. All of a sudden, he finds out she's with child. Why? How many people, men, in this room would be set to handle that? None of you. I guarantee it wouldn't have been me. You want to talk about kicking and screaming? I'd have been leading that parade. Back to verse 19 for a minute. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. A lot of people forget this part of the Bible. They forget this part of the story. All they think about is Joseph toting the donkey with Mary on it and trying to find a place for the birth to come. That's how it goes. You look at the nativity scene, and a lot of people forget him. Oh, they all look at the baby and the wise men and everything like that. They forget him. This was a man who had to make an ultimate decision. And I'm sure he didn't come to it happily. I'm sure, maybe not real mean, he was kicking and screaming the whole way. I can't have this. I don't want this. I'm not going to do this. This has got to stop. I am not going to be the man laughed at and embarrassed by everybody for marrying a woman already laden with another child. I'm not going to do it. Verse 20. It says, but after he had considered this, stop right there. I love how the Bible writes. I love how the word is laid out. Sometimes it's so subtle you can't keep up with it. But after he had considered this, that's a manly thing, isn't it? Men make all the decisions, don't they? I love telling that joke at weddings. I've told you all this joke. Young man and the old man sitting across the table from each other. Young man been married about maybe 5 months, 4 months. The old man been married 50 years. Young man said to the old man, how in the world did you do it? He said, I'm going to tell you how I did it. On the night we got married, I took my wife and sat her down and said, here's how it's going to be. That's a man after my heart. He said, in this household, all the big decisions will be made by me. You understand that? And all the small decisions, you can handle them. And the boy says, that's incredible. And the old man says, yep. And after 50 years of marriage, ain't been a big decision made yet. That's a man thing. But after he had considered this, we're men. We make up our decision, right? And then our mind gets changed. That movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the greatest line in that whole movie, when that woman's trying to explain to her daughter that she'll make sure that daddy blesses the wedding, she says, I'm going to tell you right now, the man is the head of the household, but the woman is the neck. And the neck can turn the head any way she wants. Amen. But I want to hammer that line. But after he had considered this, kicking and screaming, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. Now, the good thing was Joseph was a righteous man and decided, I'm going to do this without embarrassment to her. I'm going to do this. I don't want to be married to a woman with a child already. He didn't know what was going on. He just knows that the woman that he wanted was now tainted in his mind. Brothers and sisters, we are Joseph. When we are tasked to do something that we don't want to do, we don't want to do it. And we, man and woman thing, we decide, I just ain't going to do that. Let's read on a little bit. Still in verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Stop. Far too often, we use free will. We use our own decision makers. And we get carried away with them. I've got a story here about an old sailor, and this cracks me up, an old sailor that got repeatedly lost at sea. His friends gave him a compass and urged him to use it. And the next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and took the compass with him, but as usual, he became hopelessly confused and unable to find land. That's a sailor. Finally, when he was rescued by his friends, they were disgusted and impatient with him. They asked, why didn't you use that compass we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble. And the sailor responded, I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make that needle aim in that direction, it just kept pointing southeast. The old sailor was so certain that he knew where north was, he tried to force his own personal persuasion on the compass. Unable to do so, he tossed it aside and decreed it as worthless. Guess what? We're all sailors. You know that, did you? How many times in this room have you decided this is the way you're going to do it, regardless of what anybody else says? You're going to make that needle go the way you want. You all better get your hands up. You're lying in church on Sunday morning. I might have another sermon. Kicking and screaming, we go against the will of God. God says, I don't want you to do this. Or I want you to do this. And we argue with it. Why? Well, it's human nature. And that's a short sell on that answer, but it's the truth. We're not righteous yet. We won't be until we cross onto that street of gold. Right now, we're still who we are. And luckily, guess what we have? We have a God who loves us unconditionally and reaches out to us over and over again to save us from ourselves. Say amen.
Amen.
We go on with that verse. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Let's think about old Joseph for a minute. Kicking and screaming, arguing, mad, frustrated, confused. Yet a man of integrity, a descendant of King David, the man that now has just found out he is about to fulfill the same scriptures that he has read or heard read all of his life. And the angel gives him that tap on the shoulder and says, you're going to name him. And here's what you're going to do. in Jewish tradition, the man naming the son was a big deal. When I found out that we was going to have a boy, all right, I am not the father of a daughter. I'm not built for that, not even just a little bit. I am scared to death of little girls. I'm sorry. I love them when they're somebody else's. But if I, can you imagine if I had a little girl, she'd come home 8 years old, Daddy, I want a pony. I'll buy her a horse. You just sit in that chair till your mother gets home, because I can't touch you, but she can. And she'd follow me around in the shop all greasy and everything, and she'd have Daddy right there. And then she'd turn about 12 or 13 years old, take notice of boys and makeup, and then I'd be alone. And then there are these little boys would be coming to my door. Oh, Mr. Leatherman, I'm here to take your daughter out. Get out! Or they'd say the ultimate blasphemy to me. My, Mr. Leatherman, that sure is a nice tractor collection you'd have. I'd like to come look at it. Leave my property. Now, I ain't built for that. We found out we was going to have a boy. I already had it figured out. Paul Nelson Leatherman IV. And then that ultrasound operator playing with that joystick on my wife's belly came swinging around. Y'all know the story. And I saw another head that had not previously been there. After we told we weren't having twins, I said, "What is that?" And that lady said, "That's another body." And then Walter Michael, named after his grandfather. Tradition. Joseph was lost in the moment of aggravation, of confusion. And God said to him, "I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. I want you to do this. You take her. Because you're as much a part of that prophecy as she is." Yeah, I know. After Jesus turns about 12 years old, we don't hear much out of Joseph anymore. He did his part. We'll see him again. You can sit down and talk to him all you want about building tables, chairs, whatever. In the movie, The Passion of the Christ, one of the things that I think people miss is that whole movie done in Aramaic. I tell you what, But there's a scene in a flashback where teenage or maybe 20-year-old Jesus is talking with his mama about the table he made. Table. And she says it's too high. And he said, "No, I'm going to make a chair. And people will sit on the chair at the table." And she called him foolish that that'll never happen. Because see, the Jewish tables were low. They sat on pillows or across from each other. Where do you sit at today? You sit at a table on a chair, don't you? Perhaps that happened. Perhaps his father taught him that. You go back and watch that movie again. I know by the looks of your all's faces, how did I miss that scene? Because you're not smart like me. We get mad because we don't want to do what we don't want to do because we view it the wrong way. And when we're often asked the things that we don't want to do, most of us can get real spiteful and not do it just because. I did it. I told the Lord above, "I ain't preaching, and you can't make me. I like living the way I live." Got news for you. He made me. It still makes me to this day. And still keeps me in line. Amen for that. Thank you. But we get faced with problems all the time. And sometimes instead of dealing with the problem and accepting it as something that's going to change us, we just kind of put it off to the side. There's a story about an old farmer that had plowed around a large rock in his field for years, a big old rock. It had broken off plow points and shares and busted off discs and cultivator teeth, and they just took the plowing around it. He got finally determined to do something about it, and he went out there with a digging iron and a rock and a bar, and he lifted that rock and he got underneath of it, and he found if he got that thing up about 6 inches, he could break that rock into small pieces and haul it away. He was starting to cart it away, and he was smiling, remembering all the trouble that the rock had caused him and how easily it had just been to get rid of it sooner if he'd only quit being so hard-headed with himself. Brothers and sisters, that's us. We tell ourselves, we'll come back later. I just plain out don't want to do it, or I'm going to step away from it. Our God is bigger than that. Our God is big enough that when He tells you to do it, you do it. He's got something in mind. We're not allowed to know it. We shouldn't ought to argue with Him. We will. We do. But maybe we can start thinking a little bit more before we open our mouths. Before we begin to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Maybe somebody has asked you to do something and you don't like that person. And you don't want to do it just because you don't like that person. Anybody here ever fell into that trap? Why don't I see hands going up, people? I'm telling you. Where's my pencil? Sermon about lying on a Sunday morning. God always has something for us. He puts things forward for a reason. He ties us together as family. Because His Son was born to save our sins, because we are now forevermore chained to Him in salvation and in love, we are all the same. We are all like mine. We are all there to serve at His will, His purpose, for His blessings. His blessings. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth, and he gave him the name. Say it with me. Jesus. Jesus. That's what it's all about. Brothers and sisters, when we go away from here today, I want you to think about old Joseph. He gets forgotten about. I want you to think about the lesson that he learned. That when he decides what he's going to do, that when we decide what we're going to do, that when we decide that everything is wrong, no matter what, before we come to the Lord in prayer, maybe we ought to come to the Lord in prayer first and see what His will truly is. Whatever He commands, we do. There is a song that is not in our hymnal that we're going to learn. Well, we're not going to learn it. But everybody in this room knows it. We're just going to find the music to it. Anna Lee, Linda, whoever. Where He leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Y'all know that song. Sweet are the promises. We'll get that song eventually. But that song makes it pretty clear. We'll follow Him wherever He leads. We may not always like it. Sometimes we're going to get drugged, kicking and screaming into His will. And then we're going to be like that child that threw that fit in the toy store because they wanted that toy. And on their birthday or their graduation from kindergarten or on Christmas Day, they find that toy. There's a reason. It says, Lord, I'm sorry I argue with You. I don't want to do it. Sometimes I will. But I thank You for the blessings that have been mine for 9 years. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You don't give us what we ought to get. When we're throwing a fit, when we're acting up, Father, You still love us. Sometimes the things that You give us are heavy and hard to handle. But yet You have Your reason. And that power and glory shines through when we take time to notice it. Pray, Father, that we read, and reread the account of Joseph this week and remind ourselves that we walk as a saved child because He listened when He did not want to. Thank You, Father, for Jesus Christ our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. As we prepare for this last song and we get ready to sing, I ask if you need the prayer bench, it's open, come forward and leave them here. If you need me, I'm here. God bless all y'all.